God.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. I was about to say, which is across the foyer and up a small flight of stairs. It's been 3 years since I had to say that. That was our old place. It's going to be that way tonight. I can see. Newcomers, is there anybody here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We don't want to embarrass you. We would just like to welcome you by first name. Anybody in first 30 days? Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Welcome. Anybody else? All right. Welcome, Lisa. All right. So at this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen to uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The AA preamble says, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to this step discussed tonight, which will be step two tonight. Please help me welcome our panel this evening. We have Ellen and John. I'm sorry, you're going first.
She did. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to read you to death, but we're just what happens at this meeting is I'll read a paragraph out of the book, and then our panel shared a little bit on the paragraph that we just read. So we're going to start tonight on page 45. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the preceding chapters, we hope you've learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, but it isn't so difficult. About half of our fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Kick us off, John.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
It's my first time here. Just wanted to give you my sobriety date is February 22nd, 2021. And my home group is the Sandbridge Big Book Study. We meet Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, and I'm the door greeter there. So if you guys ever come out, I'll be the first face you see. In regards to the reading, I remember reading this with my sponsor. I'd been in and out of the rooms of AA for a long time. I came into the rooms when I was 19. It was the first time I started getting, facing consequences for my drinking. Started drinking when I was 15. And then, shortly after, started facing consequences. And I would come and go, and I would hear things, and I would feel like, you know, okay, I learned something. That's great. That's not me. Especially, you know, when I came into the room, it was, you know, court ordered. And so I didn't hear anything you guys were saying. And then over the years, I started coming in and hearing things and, you know, trying to do it my own way, trying to, you know, finagle my way about it. And had this book probably for 10 years and didn't read more than, you know, a couple of pages, more than how it works and stuff like that. You know, the promises, you know, I think the promises, the ninth step promises, I should say, you know, and I would think like, oh yeah, these are starting to come true because I'm going to meetings and I'm not drinking. You know, I thought that's how the program worked. I thought that's all you guys did, go to meetings and don't drink. And sure, yeah, there's steps and stuff like that. And like, I'm kind of taking them on my own, but I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't really doing anything. I was just not drinking. And I just remember over the years coming and going, and it was only when I was at the end of my rope. I didn't know what to do. I was so out of options and so completely overwhelmed and so defeated. I came in here 21 months and some change ago, completely broken, completely overwhelmed, and finally willing to like work the program as you know, you guys do it, and actually get a sponsor for the first time. And when I got a sponsor, he said, "Do you have a big book?" And I said, "Yeah, I got a big book. I've had it for like 10 years." And he's like, "Awesome. We're going to be reading that a lot. So get comfortable with it and go ahead and start reading from the blank page to page 57. And he made a few things clear to me from the start. He started from the blank page and he said, "You know what that page represents?" I said, "No, it's blank." And he said, "Exactly. There's nothing on it. That's everything you think you know about alcohol. Or sorry, that's everything you think you know about yourself. Everything you think you know about alcoholism and everything you think you know about Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing. It's blank. You don't know anything." You know, he did that for me to help me get rid of my old ideas, to help me get rid of all the things that I used to think I was so smart. You know, I always used to think I was so smart and I could figure things out. And I remember saying that to him, "Oh, I'm just trying to figure it out." When he asked me like, "So, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself." "Oh, I'm still trying to figure this thing out." And he said, "You don't have to figure anything out, man. It's all right here in this book." And so we started from that blank page to get that perspective, to get rid of all my old ideas. And then I remember reading this page specifically and this reading here. There's so much things that's like going on in my head that I want to talk about, but I'm going to just go ahead and pick up with that reading where it's pretty clear. It's black and white and it's right there in front of me. And it says, "If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic." Like, damn, you know, that's all, that's check, check. Yep. That's me since I was 15, since the very first time I picked up a drink. I haven't been able to control it. Since I was 15, I haven't been able to put it down. I'm absolutely an alcoholic. And when I started working with my sponsor, the very first day he asked me, before he took me on as a sponsee, he asked me three questions. He asked me if I was an alcoholic, and which I was, you know, at that point, like I said, defeated and absolutely, yes, I'm an alcoholic. And he asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths for a victory over alcohol. I didn't know what that was, but I said, "Yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes." And then he asked me what time I could call him every single day. And I call him every single day. I still do. And so when we started reading that, and, you know, it's right there on the page. Yeah, I'm an absolute alcoholic. And then I get this hope right here where it says, "If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer." You know, there's promises all throughout this book, and that's absolutely a promise. But it tells me that only a spiritual experience will conquer this. And I was open to finding a higher power. And he told me that all I had to do was be willing to be willing. Are you now willing, or are you willing to be willing? Sorry, I butchered that line, but that's all that's required of me. And for someone as stubborn and just completely just hard-headed as me, I can accept those terms. Those are easy enough terms. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? That's the passage. And yeah, for someone as thick-headed and stubborn and full of ego and pride, yeah, that's not too hard of terms. I am willing to believe in a power greater than myself. And he told me that's all that is required of me for me to make my start. And it's been that way ever since. I still don't know what that power is. I know it's something. I'll never comprehend what it is. I mean, it tells us that we can't comprehend what that power really is, but it just takes that willingness to believe. And that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
My name's Ellen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ellen.
My sobriety date is December 11th of 2020. I am also a member of the home group Sandbridge Big Book Study. We do meet on Tuesdays at 8. I do have a sponsor who is aware that he is my sponsor, and he has a sponsor, and his sponsor has a sponsor. And I call him every day, except today. So I love that even back in 1939, like, they knew they were going to need at least a whole chapter on this, because they knew, like, God is a touchy subject. And if it was then, I'm sure it's like 10 times as touchy now. You know, when I came into this program literally 2 years ago, I didn't, in my experience, like, I didn't have any sort of anger towards an idea of God. I was raised very, like, casual religious, I would say. Like, my parents would have, like, if you asked them, they would have said, yeah, we believe in God, but, you know, we didn't have to go to church. It was never, like, shoved on me. And so to me, an idea of, like, God and a higher power, the best way I can describe it is it was like a fluffy idea. It just kind of felt like very equivalent to, like, Santa Claus. Same premise for me. I just kind of felt like it's a really nice idea, and I would love it if it's a real thing, but I have no way to know if it is, and you don't really know how to tell me if it is. So I have no way to, like, put any confidence in it. And so when I came into this program, you know, like John shared, I too was utterly defeated. And, you know, anything that was asked of me, I was willing to do at that point, begrudgingly at times, but I was. And, you know, when it came to doing chapter 4 and starting with this, you know, we agnostics, my older brother was really into describing himself as an agnostic when he was like 16. So I also would call myself an agnostic because I just wanted to do everything he did. But I have here, you know, right at We Agnostics, A meaning without, and Gnostic meaning knowledge. So basically, if someone is an agnostic, they're just saying, we don't have the knowledge to confirm whether it's, like, a real thing or not. And for me, like, as early on in my life as I can remember, not having a solid answer about something, that was the beginning of my struggles. Like, anything I couldn't be completely 100% confident on, because, you know, that is my dilemma, is lack of control, like, not having sure answers to everything. So, like, those big weird questions, like outer space and, like, the concept of what happens after we die, those things, like, rocked me at an early age, just because I felt like, you know, my spiritual malady that I believe I was born with, I just couldn't accept that there were things that were beyond my human brain to understand. I mean, from the jump, from the get-go. And so then when I get to this program and I'm defeated, and this book is, you know, kind of gently greeting me with the idea of having a higher power, and not only just having a higher power, but, like, having a spiritual experience and in a spiritual life that I can ground my life in, that felt really challenging to me. Not in a, like, I wasn't against the idea. In fact, I loved the idea of believing in a God and in a higher power, because those people seemed really happy to me. But I just felt like, how can you be so sure when you're not sure? And that's kind of my whole issue in the beginning of my sobriety, is I wanted to understand everything. I wanted to understand it backwards, forwards, upside down. I needed to just know everything about everything, which, guess what, prevented me from being happy for a long time. I don't recommend you do that. Like, you know, when it comes to a higher power and a God, you know, beginning of chapter 4, they're so gentle with us. Like, there's so much hope in the small part that we just read. you know, to one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue on as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, which like that part, I'm like, yeah, that's me. It sounds kind of bummerish, but it isn't so difficult. About half of our original fellowship were exactly that type. And there's just so many moments here. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. You know, when I come into this program, I'm so defeated and I have no faith in my ability to live life even remotely well, less off like successfully. And so when I get to this and I'm like being told, you know, only a spiritual experience will conquer this, I'm like, man, like, I don't know. And they're like, don't worry. Like, we all felt that way too. We know this is kind of a touchy thing. It's going to be okay. And here's how, and they dedicate a whole chapter to it because they know that it's not only something that a lot of people have a struggle with, but it's pivotal that you get on good standing with it. You know, I've tried to do sobriety without delving into the spiritual side of things. And I've tried to do sobriety without doing the actual program written in this book. And it did not work because I am truly a chronic alcoholic. And I do have to have a spiritual experience. It's the only thing that will conquer my kind of illness. And so the, you know, my sponsor always talks about the way that this book is written and just like the way that they are so like masterfully preparing us with like the things that are going to be more difficult and the way they use the words that they use, you know, it's constantly providing hope, but also hitting you with those like really hard facts, because that is a big part of this program, is like recognizing like there's some serious shit to this. And it is serious because like for people like myself that are chronically sick, like this is life or death for me, and I will die if I don't do it the way I need to. And so, you know, we know this is a little bit of a hard thing. We're going to kind of hold your hand as we walk into this chapter, but also like, get ready to hear some stuff you might not want to hear. And that's kind of how this program, and man, I don't like to hear stuff I don't want to hear. You can ask my sponsor. I'm not good at hearing those things, but I've gotten better over the last 2 years. And I've come to realize that pretty much anytime I'm hearing something I don't want to hear, it's something I need to be hearing. And it means that I need to turn my thinking on that real quick. Cause I mean, my nature is to want, you know, what's best for me and not what's best for you. Cause I'm an alcoholic and I'm selfish. So that's all I got on that. Thanks for letting me share.
Awesome.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm going to pick up one of the paragraphs I neglected to read on page 45, I believe. Yeah. We're going to continue on 45. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how will we define this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is all about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And we'll pick up again on 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and effect the contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard turns with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. John?
John Alcoholic. the reading that we, the passage that we skipped, the lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, right? That's something that my sponsor, you know, cleared up for me real quick. There is a God and it's not you. It's simple as that. And it's up to you to resolve what that power is in yourself, you know, and this book makes it very easy for us to do that. It makes it very, very clear that only a spiritual experience will conquer our alcoholism. We'll always be alcoholics, but we do recover from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. But the only way to do that is with that vital spiritual experience. And it tells us right there, you know, the obviously that power had to come from something outside of ourselves. And again, I'm stupid. I'm stubborn. I have to be told multiple times. And that's what I love about this book, because it tells you the same thing over and over and over again. It tells you different ways, you know, And that's what I love about We Agnostics, because it just iterates and reiterates and reiterates that we get it. God idea is difficult for people to conceive within themselves, but guess what? We're going to be talking about God. And then the next reading where it says, however inadequate our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect the contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence or a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. And then again, we found that God does not make too hard terms of those with those who seek him. That's just it. It doesn't matter, you know, what my conception is or how, you know, tiny that conception is. You know, it's just, there's a God, it's not you. Deal with it. I mean, really, it's that simple. That's simple terms for me. I can accept those terms. I can feel that within myself. I don't know if y'all ever go out to the beach or anything and just feel the spirit of the universe. There's definitely something bigger than me. And now I just make contact with that higher power. I like to identify as God. And it's really, it's that simple. And that's the start. That's all the start that was required for me. And my sponsor told me just every day, you know, wake up in the morning and say thanks for, a prayer of thanks. And at the end of the day, a prayer of thanks for keeping me sober, you know, just for today. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention. The fact that right where it says, we found that God does not make too hard of terms for those who seek him. You know, it's like people would say you got to find God. And it's like, God's not lost. He's been here the whole time. It's just when you actually make an effort to seek him, when I make an effort to seek him, he's there. He's waiting for me, you know, and that's something that's pretty special as well. I never have to feel alone ever again. And I don't. I did for a long time. I have a wife. I have daughters. I have everything I ever needed in my life. You know, I've always been a hard worker and things like that, and had the things that I needed, and I've been able to get sober in the past. I could just never stay sober, but I had every reason to stay sober. You know, I had everything I ever wanted, anything I ever needed, but I was trying to escape. You know, like the book talks about, you had what you needed, but you're still trying to escape. You're not drinking an escape. You're drinking to overcome an obsession. And that's what I was doing, because I was, no matter how long I had sober, I still had that monkey on my back. You know, didn't matter if it was a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months, I always had that monkey on my back. You know, I was always white knuckling it because I was doing it on my own. That's been the difference this time around, is that when I came in here willing to do whatever it took, willing to believe in a power greater than myself, it hasn't been that difficult. I'll be honest, it really hasn't. And I said that to my sponsor too. I was like, am I going through that like pink cloud thing that I hear people talking about? Because it's really not been that difficult. And he's like, no, that's the program in action. It really is that simple. It's a simple spiritual program of action. That's how the program was described to me. And that's why it says, if we take, provided we took other simple steps, I've taken those other simple steps, and I continue to, you know, take steps each and every day. And it hasn't been too difficult. God does not give me more than I can handle. And I don't have to feel alone anymore. Not only do I have a spiritual connection with something, you know, that never makes me feel alone, but I've been able to build a fellowship within this, you know, the rooms of AA, unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. I never wanted any of this. I never wanted to be a part of AA, but it's incredible what the program can give you when you're willing to be willing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Ellen, still an alcoholic. I just want you guys to know, I have little hearts drawn all over this page, like a middle schooler's little notebook with the crush. Just because like this whole page for me is just like very, very comforting and relieving. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, skip down, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard of terms for those who seek him. I mean, for me, like, I need to hear that stuff, because I'm the one sitting there like, but how do I know? Like, how do I know if when I say I believe in it, I mean it? You know, how do I know? How do I know? And once I figured out that I needed to stop obsessing over like figuring out every little detail of the things, the best advice I can give you if you're struggling with the whole higher power concept and all this is like, just take a moment, ask yourself if you're willing to believe in a power greater than yourself. Quick answer, yes or no. Hopefully it's a yes. And then go and take action. Like do the things that you think a God would do. Like behave the way you think a God would. And like by that, I just mean like be a good person, be honest, be genuine, be thinking of others more than yourself. And like the best thing you can do is just stop obsessing about what's going on in your head and take action. Because from my experience, that's the best thing you can do, because it was only after I stopped trying to figure everything out and like literally put my feet in front of each other that I actually started understanding this program. Because, you know, like was shared, like I have such a big ego and I think I'm so smart. And I feel like it's my duty to break down this book and analyze it and just understand every little underlying thing. And it's not, it's really, really not. And all I have to do is just like take it for exactly what's on the page. So, you know, when it's talking about, you know, getting this conception of a higher power, it doesn't have to match anybody else's. You don't have to talk to anybody else about the higher power. Whatever it is that works for you, as long as it's bigger than yourself and you can ground yourself in it, carry on, keep moving. And when I let go and I started doing that, everything just started to make so much more sense. And you know, just having faith that there's something smarter than me in the world, like, thank God, because I'm not that smart. I think I am, but I'm not. And, you know, just knowing that all those things that I've spent my whole life worrying about, all those big unanswerable questions, like the fact that I now understand I cannot know things like how those things work, and yet I'll still be happy and things can still be okay. Like I can carry on and exist. Like that might sound silly to some of you, but for me, that's a big fucking deal. Excuse me. Because I mean, like I spent a lot of my life like paralyzed with fear over these things. Like I'm talking like was not a functioning human because I couldn't get past those things. And, you know, when I really look back at it now, it was completely centered around the idea that I didn't have faith that like, if I didn't know, there was no safety in it. Like I had to know. And now that I can accept that I don't have to know everything, whether it's like how this program works or like what happens after we die, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I can still exist because there is a power of the universe, God, as I call it, that is there and can take care of those big, scary things. And again, like that may sound silly, but to someone who's been sick their whole lives and just like born with this spiritual malady and this gaping hole in my gut of like, why don't I understand the world? And how come you aren't as upset about it as I am? You know, talk about feeling different since the day I was born. I'm sitting here like sobbing at 8 years old because you can't tell me if there's really a heaven or not. And I'm looking at other 8 year olds playing on the jungle gym. And I'm like, what's happening here? Like, why are you upset too? Did you not hear what they just said? You know, cause that's what it's like to be a chronic alcoholic. Like that's just what it is. I'm born with a mind that just loves to find problems and loves to like obsess over things that I can't deal with. And so once I realize I come into this program and I realize that I can give these things over to a God of my understanding and like let go of them and not obsess over them anymore, I am free to be a functioning person, which at 8 years old, I was pretty positive that was not looking good for me. Like I did not. And, you know, I was not wrong for a long time. I was not a functioning person for a long time. And now that I have this reliance in a power greater than myself and I can give him all these icky, yucky things that my brain doesn't understand, I'm like, oh, okay. Now I can go be like the rest of the people my age and like function and, you know, be good to people because I'm not obsessed with myself and my fears and my anxieties. Because I have something, somewhere to put it, someone to give it to. And that is the God of my understanding. And, you know, like the book says, he's been there the whole time. He was always with me. I just was like doing that thing where like someone's trying to hand you something and you're just looking everywhere else. Like, I don't see it. I don't know, man. It's not here. It's really right here. But, you know, that's the way it had to be for me. Like every horrible hiccup of my life, there were good times too, but all the horrible hiccups had to happen. Like my experience is exactly the way it's supposed to be because there are undoubtedly going to be other people who at 8 year olds were having these big, scary fears. And I will be able to help you. And there are people who have felt just like me since the day they were born, just feeling really, really confused and dissatisfied with life for literally no reason, because I had everything I could want, like was shared. But yet I'm still just like, I'm finding reasons to find a problem with just life in general. But once I have a God of my understanding, I come into this program and, you know, it's teaching me not just how to not drink, but how to live my life. I understand now that there's somewhere I can like put these things and then carry on and be the kind of person that the God of my understanding wants me to be, which is all I've ever wanted, was to feel like I'm a real person that has a real purpose, which I do. And it's to help people just like me. And that's so simply beautiful, because my whole life, I just thought there is no purpose for me to exist other than to just be afraid. Like my purpose is to be afraid. And now my purpose is to help people not be afraid. And that's like the most beautiful thing in the world, because if I, it's just so beautiful. Thanks for letting me share. Oh,
thanks for sharing.
Thank you. All right. We're going to continue on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
That's one of the most powerful lines in this book. That sums up the whole higher power thing for me, because that's all that is required. Not do I believe, but am I even just willing to believe? And if I had anything when I came in these rooms, I had willingness. I had that. That's last time around. That's all I had, was willingness, because I never wanted to, you know, I just wanted some semblance of peace in my life, because I was tearing it all down. I was creating chaos, and I was just so, you know, at the end of my rope, so just out of options. You know, like I said, I have wife and kids, and, you know, I told my wife I was going to stop drinking when my daughter was born, you know, she's 17, you know, and it's just like, I've just been doing this shit for so long. Just, you know, another attempt, another failure. That's my story. You know, it's just, you know, always being the guy that's just way too drunk and just acting a fool and embarrassing myself and everybody around me. Anybody that knows me is just like, I don't know him. You know, it's just like, you know, being, anytime there's a wedding, oh, it's all about me. I'm going to get as drunk as I can. If it's a dry wedding, I'm going to bring my own. You know, if it's a funeral, oh, it's about me. I'm sad because so-and-so. And it's just like, I'm so damn selfish. I make everything about me. And I'm such an alcoholic that it's just like, no amount of alcohol has ever satisfied me. You know, it took me a long time to like really accept that one is too many. It really did. I fought that tooth and nail. I fought that for as long as I could. I never wanted to accept that. I wanted to prove everybody wrong. But, you know, deep down, it was just, I was trying to prove myself wrong, trying to prove my, you know, my mom wrong. You know, my whole family has alcoholism and addiction. It's been, you know, plagued my family for centuries. Like, I'm from Scotland. The only reason I'm moving over here is because my dad is such an alcoholic. My mom divorced his ass and left the country. You know, it's like that's in me. I truly believe I was born this way, because it was from the first time it's been, you know, too excess. It's been too much. And that followed me. And I remember, used to like wake up and just, I used to feel so damn like low and just like, why do I keep doing this to myself? You know, waking up in jail, waking up wherever, waking up in my truck more times than I can remember. Like, I'm out here, you know, being reckless. I could kill myself or kill anybody else. Why am I doing this? I didn't know why. I truly didn't know why. You know, like the book talks about, you ask him why he keeps doing this. I don't know. I really don't. I like to get fucked up. That's all I know. That's when I'm being honest. And that's what it is. You know, people can say they drink or do drugs for any number of reasons. I do it because I like the way it makes me feel. I want to feel something different. And I was chasing that feeling for so long. And so whenever I put it down, you know, the only thing I know that makes my life tolerable and stuff like that makes, you know, all the, just quiets the noise. That's really what it does. It would just quiet all the voice, like the, you know, just the depression and the anxiety and, you know, the resentments and all the stuff that I've done to people, you know, all that conscience really is what it is. It's my conscience telling me I'm, you know, messing up and I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. It's like, oh, shut up. And I would drink and it would go away. I was seeking that ease and comfort of the first drink, but I can't have just one. I always go too hard. And so then I was finally at that point where like, okay, I just can't drink then. Let's just stop drinking. And, you know, and I couldn't stop though. Once I actually really tried to stop, I got scared because I realized I can't stop. And that went on for another 10 years of actually trying to stop and failing utterly and completely every single time. I could go a couple days, maybe a couple weeks, but honestly, the time of me not drinking and the time of me drinking started flip-flopping. And now it's like, I'm only able to get like a day or two. And by the end of it, I can't remember last time I had a sober breath when I came in here. That's how long it had been, at least a year and a half, 2 years, that I had had one sober breath. And I was just so defeated that I came in here looking for anything and willing to do anything. And like I said, if I had anything, I had willingness. And, you know, I did the hardest thing I ever did was ask another man to help me. I put my hand up and just, you know, said, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. And I got with a sponsor pretty quickly and he read this book with me. And when we got here, I mean, that makes it so easy for me. It makes it so simple. This book is simple. It breaks it down black and white. It breaks it down to very simple terms. Do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? And yes, I am. And I am. And as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he is on his way. And that is true of my experience, because as soon as I was able to accept a higher power and start, you know, nourishing that relationship that I'm building by communicating, not just those, oh God, help me out of this jam again. Oh God, help me get over this hangover and all that. No, like an actual relationship and actually, you know, I don't just call my friends and say, oh, help me out every time I need help. You know, it's like, no, you communicate. And that's how it started with me, is just that small nugget of willingness. And it's been growing and growing, and it's, you know, it just continues to get better. And, you know, I believe that, I know we're on step two, but when I got to step three and I asked God, you know, to take my life, turned over my will and my life to my creator, I felt that he did come inside my life and he's been with me ever since. And it's amazing. And it takes that continued willingness though. And that's what I pray for every day, is that continued willingness to keep practicing these principles. And it's called practice, not perfection. It's not, I'll never perfect this, but I'm going to aim for perfection and I'm going to try and continue to work this to the best of my willingness. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, John.
So right above where David read, it says, that was growth, but if we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere. And when I read that, I'm like, I want to grow. I need to grow. I am so, you know, when I came into this program, like I was definitely sure that I had a drinking problem. And like, that was out of the question. Like, yeah, for sure. But, you know, as I mentioned before, like I've felt like really sick in the spirit and in the mind, whatever you want to call it, like as long as I can remember. I very, very vividly remember being like, it, like definitely if I was a teenager, I was like 13 or so. And I remember telling my mom, I wish there was like a rehab, but just for life, because I feel like I need to go to one of those. Like I had not even begun to think of drinking and somehow I knew what rehab was. So, you know, when I get to this program, like, yeah, I for sure need something to help me like figure out how to stop drinking. Like that's the issue at hand here. But like, I know that the reason I can't stop drinking is because when I try, I'm left with just who I am and what my brain is, which is the most terrifying, horrible, bad thing in the world. And I have just found my solution in alcohol. Like I've found a way to get away from that. So if I try to take that out, that's not going to work either. So, you know, like I said, I can't imagine my life with or without alcohol at this point. And so, you know, when I come to this program and I, you know, I'm ready to stop drinking and I'm like, yes, I don't want to drink anymore. Like I'm done. But then I start to like, I think it was like day three, I had like a whole breakdown. Cause I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, not only does that mean like not drinking, but that means being with myself sober, like all the time. And that was a really hard thing for me to deal with because it had been, you know, so long since I had even tried to accept me just as I am, which I had never been able to do. And once I find the solution in alcohol, like you can bet your butt that I can't do that. Like I need that solution. And when I take that away, I'm left with my just sincere spiritual malady. So when this book talks about, but if we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere, like, okay, tell me more. How do I do that? And so it says, we needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. Like, that's easy. That's not that bad. And so, you know, again, like the whole God thing, as I said, when I was younger, you know, it was like this kind of like fake idea to me, but just believing that there's something bigger than myself, like I said, where I can just send these issues of mine, that gave me peace. And so just knowing that, like, as long as I'm even willing to believe that that's even a possibility, like you've started, you're on your way. Like, thank God, because I don't know how to do this, but I need a quick foot in the door with this, because if I sit with my sober self and like, don't find any remnant of a solution pretty quickly, this is not going to work because I'm a chronic alcoholic and I need help like right away. I don't have time to just sit and think about how I'm feeling. I don't have time to like do fun, kitschy stuff because like I will go drink again and then I'll die. Like that's the reality for me. So I'm so thankful that I found a sponsor that was like, okay, let's start reading like right now. Let's do this right now. Even when I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. Like, don't give me time to be ready, man. Cause that's me saying, I don't want to do it and I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to go drink in a week. Like I need quick, like, let's put our nose to the grindstone. And the way that this book is written, that's what we do. So, you know, when it comes to step two, just like even being willing to believe. I remember one of my early obsessions in the program, you know, how do I know if I'm willing? Like, how do I really know if I really mean it? And I don't know if this was my sponsor's own words, but he said, I'll know I'm willing when I'm doing. Like, once I'm just like taking action, that means I'm willing. And so, like I said, if this is a thing that you are really stuck on, if this is really hard for you to get past, just like take away the like dense fogginess of it and just like, are you even willing to believe? Yes. Carry on, like go to the next station, move forward, just do anything except try to like break down your thoughts. Because if you are like myself and you are a very serious chronic alcoholic who will like do everything in your power, whether you realize you're doing it or not, think your way out of this. This is the part that you'll think your way out of, because you'll be like, I just don't know. I don't know if I believe, I don't know if I'm sure. And then, you know, XYZ happens and you're drunk. That's what would happen to me. So I recommend nothing more than if this is a really hard part for you, like take away the scariness of this, like just make it as simple as possible. Are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? Yes. Just move forward. Keep going. Don't feel like you need to like understand every little part of your higher power, because you don't have to explain it to anybody else. Just get one and then move forward. That's all I got. Thanks. For
awesome. All right. Let's see where we got. So we got about minutes left. Perfect. And one more paragraph. So we'll cap it tonight on page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
Man, that right there, the God idea did. My ideas did not. You know, like I said, I always thought I was so damn smart. I could figure it out. I was raised, you know, to, you know, be a man and figure it out and do it yourself and yada, yada, yada. And that didn't work, man. I just couldn't figure it out. I couldn't. My ideas did not work. My thinking does not work. I'm smart in other aspects, sure, but when it comes to alcohol, that's something much far beyond me. You know, and when reading this book, it tells us there's it comes to a certain point in every alcoholic's career where they, you know, basically step over this line and there's no return through human power. And we need a higher power. We need a spiritual solution to get us, you know, back. And so I didn't realize that I was fighting this thing that's it's just unwinnable. It's an unwinnable fight. You know, and we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. I was, like I said, like I've shared many times, I'm so damn stubborn. It's like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to just keep banging my head against the wall. That didn't work. Keep trying it again. Bang my head against the wall. I'm going to keep banging my head against the wall because I'm, you know, like the definition of insanity. I'm going to keep trying this thing over and over again, all to my, you know, my own dismay. I'm never going to figure it out. And, you know, I used to think of AA as weakness. I used to think as God and being spiritual as weakness. You know, it's like, oh, they need that. You know, I'm so strong. I'm so powerful. I'm so, you know, full of pride that it was just that false pride. It was my ego trying to like, you know, defense mechanisms, trying to protect my, you know, precious little ego. Like, that's just, you know, I'm so insecure and have all these issues going on. And it's like, that's why, you know, the book tells us that alcohol is but a symptom. The real problem is me. You know, I just turn to alcohol because it makes all those things go away. And when it says we're having trouble with personal relationships, absolutely. I've ruined more friendships than I can remember. You know, I've pushed away my wife more times than I can count. She should had every reason to leave me for good, but she stuck by me. I don't deserve my daughters, you know, the way I've always, you know, paid the bills and things like that. So like, I can't be a powerless, you know, I've got the truck and the house and, you know, good job and things like that. All these things are going well for me. I can't possibly be powerless. That was my stubbornness. That's my ego. That's my pride. Meanwhile, the house, the family, they're, you know, I'm putting them through hell. You know, I'm just continuously putting them through hell. And the book talks about that incomprehensible demoralization, you know, the things, you know, like that I would have to face my wife and you know, talk to her about after going out drinking and pissing all over myself and coming back covered in whatever and, you know, can't even make it in the house, falling asleep in the grass in the garage with my truck on. I should have been dead 1,000 times over, but I'm not. And it makes me wonder why am I still here? What's my purpose? And it's like all these things that have been happening to me and I'm still here. That feeling of uselessness, full of fear, unhappy. These are all the things that I was feeling. And anytime I put the bottle down, they stayed and it got unbearable. And so I would always turn back to the bottle because it was the only thing that made it go away. And so it's like right there, how did I not see it for so long? It's like, oh, I don't have a problem with alcohol. It's like, but every time I put it down, I'm overcome and I have to go back to it again. And it's because I'm trying to escape myself and I can't escape myself. And I need God. I need a higher power in my life and I need to work these steps and be honest with myself. And the God idea works. My ideas don't. It's that simple. It really is for me. And I don't want to ramble. So I'm just going to, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, John. The small little portion when we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. That's what sold it for me, honestly. That sold me because, like, who am I to say that there's not a spirit of the universe? And yet this entire fellowship of people is like, we're pretty sure there is and it's working for us. Like when you put it kind of like that for me, I'm like, okay, you know what? Fine. Like, if nothing else, I believe in the fact that you guys believe in it and it's doing something for you. You're as horrible people as I am. Not really, but you know, you're as sick as I am. And yet you're happy and I'm not, and I want to be happy like you. And you're telling me that a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe is the foundation of how you got happy. Fine. I'm in. I'll do whatever. you know? And I mean, that makes it so simple and it's so easy. And I remember the first time reading this with my sponsor, and he was like so into the, our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And the very first time I read that, honestly, I was like, I'm not feeling the magic you're feeling at that. I don't know. but you know, now I feel the magic. Cause I'm like, that is so simple. My ideas work in terms of like getting me miserable, getting me what I need to stay miserable, making sure you're as miserable as I am. Like, I'm good at all that. But when it comes to like making me happy and making other people a priority over myself and like succeeding in life, absolutely not. My ideas do not work. I don't even have an idea to not work. And so when you just give me this very small, simple thing, a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. I mean, when I think of it that way, it's like, I can't even believe how I ever didn't believe in a God, in a spirit of the universe, because like, look at AA, if nothing else, just look at AA, look at this massive across the world fellowship of people that have all bonded in a fairly common solution. Some not, but you know, mostly a common solution. And I mean, for the most part, we're all on the same page. And that's nuts. The fact that we constantly, I mean, I have a group of people that I hang out with every Tuesday night who I never would have met, probably wouldn't have liked half of them if I met them anywhere besides the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. But when I'm in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous with them, I love them. I would do anything for them. I would take a bullet for them because I understand them and they understand me. And they have given me a way feel sane in the fact that I'm not necessarily sane, if that makes sense. Like, you know, one of my biggest fears when I was younger was that I was insane. Like, I was obsessed with the idea that I was going to find out later in life that I was like a schizophrenic. That was my big thing. And I'd ask my brother all the time, do you think I'm insane? Do you think I'm crazy? Same people. And so, you know, but the reason I would feel that way is because I couldn't explain it to anybody and like see in their eyes that they understood what I was saying. Like, I'd go to doctors and I'd go to psychiatrists and I'd go to therapists and I'd try to explain to them what was going on in my head. And they just kind of look at me real blankly. And I was like, okay, didn't sell you on it. And that made me feel really alone and really scared. And, you know, get to the point where I've started drinking and doing all kinds of other things, I feel way more alone and way more scared. And I'm positive that I'm insane at this point. And so when you give me this program, this room of Alcoholics Anonymous, where I'm constantly surrounded by people that not only like don't think I'm crazy, but when I tell them about the things that used to scare me and used to keep me up at night, like I see it in their eyes that they understand what I'm talking about. They relate to my crazy. And that's, again, like, If younger me could know that she would find people that not only sympathize with her, but empathize with her. And like, they know what you're talking about. There are people who feel just like you do. And together you will find a way out of this crap. Like, I mean, what else could I ask for? What more could I want? That's all I've ever wanted, is to not feel alone, to feel like I had a purpose in the world, and to feel like my existence was not a waste of time. And this program gives me all of that and a bunch of other stuff. So like, why wouldn't I try? Why wouldn't I just like even remotely accept the God idea? Like, if that's what I have to do to get all those things that I've spent my whole life wanting, sure, I will sign up for the God thing. You've got me. That's all I got. Thanks for
sharing. That was amazing. Right on time. Okay, we're going to pass the Seven Tradition basket. There's little laminated cards in here too for Venmo, PayPal, if it pleases you. All right, so you can sign up for email at our website, a real low frequency email just for events that we might be having at simpleactions.net, PayPal, Venmo, I already talked about that. The Seven Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements tonight for the good of AA? John?
John.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Anybody else got an announcement? Alrighty then. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available over there on the hand sanitizing station that has no hand sanitizer on it. But there are books. So if you need a book, just see any one of us. If you need a book, we'll get you a book. You want a book? We'll get you one. Book.
Books.
Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we'll be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Or if you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors if you're smoking. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Everyone is invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. Can we thank our panel one more time? Thank everybody who participated, setting up and running the meeting. After the Lord's Prayer, feel free to come and thank. And how about, oh, I had neglected Mike Midget with your big booming radio voice. Would you read the last few paragraphs on page 164? You want to just read them out of your book? We start with "Our book is meant."
Mike Midget, recovered alcoholic.
Mike!
Our book is suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly ask every meditation each day to come if your own house is. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy. May God bless you until then.
Thank you,
thanks, sir. For reading.
Thanks, Mike.
What we've been doing is circling up around this table here and doing the Lord's Prayer. Good. That way the Zoomies can see us.
The Zoomies.
Thank you.
Sounds like a special.
Come on, you can. Yeah, you don't have to touch it. Our Father.
Our Father. Our Father. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.